Like to call to order the 1,410th meeting of the Board of Directors of WMATA. And I would ask for a motion to approve the agenda for this meeting.
Move approval, Mr. Chairman.
Is there a second?
Second.
All voting members in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The agenda is approved. We have several certifications of executive session, which I'll ask Ms. Hutchins to offer the motion. In the interest of time, perhaps you might read it once and then we'll vote three times. And those who were present at the meeting are those who should vote on the motion.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I move that the board certify to the best of each member's knowledge and with no individual member dissenting that at today's just concluded board executive session of September 25th, 2015, only such matters as are authorized for discussion in executive session under board bylaws, Article 10, and only those matters identified in the notices by which the executive session was convened were heard, discussed, or considered by the board.
A second, and we have a vote from those who are present today. All those approving, vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
And,
August 26th, same motion.
A motion for those members for the board executive session of August 26, 2015. Move approval.
Second.
Second.
Those who are present on the 26th?
Aye.
Any opposed? That carries.
For the board executive session of September 3rd, 2015. Move approval.
Second.
Second.
Those who are present on the 3rd?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
And for that the carries. Board executive session of September 10th, 2015. Move approval.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? That completes the certifications. We have a number of minutes to be approved. They're all in the package relating to board work session, special board meeting on August 6th, and earlier executive session to the board. Can I have a motion to approve all of them?
So moved.
And a second.
Second.
And a motion, I will call a vote on it. Each one in order for a vote among those who were present. July 23rd. Aye.
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 Yep. July 30th. Aye. August 6th. Aye.
Aye.
And then the executive sessions for July 23rd through September 10th.
Aye.
All in favor? Aye. Minutes are approved. We'll move to public comment. Public comment period. We have three persons signed up. Call first on Jan Zika on obsolete rail fastening specifications. Yes, sir. Yeah, go to the microphone and you have 3 minutes.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for this time. I am a former principal track work engineer who was part of the team when that track where train derailment was designed. Well, in those days, it was forerunner of technology, and it spread into many places around the country as a design standard. But it is, by now, it is obsolete beyond belief. Well, after I left General Consultant in 1989, I worked on 10 rapid transit systems and 5 high-speed rapid systems on 4 continents, so that I can bring some kind of a global perspective of all issue. I would compare Eurotunnel and tunnels of WMATA. If we installed the type of WMATA fasteners in Eurotunnel, as some consultants proposed, the damage would be now in about $800 million, if not $1 billion, in track maintenance and disruption of operations. And this very low type of estimate. Did that happen? No. Because the fastener system, which was installed over there, doesn't fail. I requested, as a consultant, I do life cycle analyses, and I don't have one for the type of fastener. Recently, I requested headquarters in London to send me a failed LVT fastener, and I would pay $1,000 for it. So far, I didn't spend a penny. The same fastener is installed in Gotthard Base Tunnel, which is the longest tunnel in the world, scheduled to open on June 2, 1916. But this fastening system would not meet WMATA specifications. These specifications are not only obsolete, but they are counterproductive. For a long time I have heard from suppliers to WMATA that the biggest challenge of supplying fasteners to WMATA to make them work in spite of specifications. So I would not blame anybody, inspectors or Mr. Troop, for this element, because what is happening here is we are trying to maintain 1975 Chevy and keep it running in spite of half million kilometers, miles accumulated, and even building replicas of it. What I suggest is to go where the problem is, to the basic engineering, which is implied in those specifications, modernize them, and realize that this is 2015. You don't need any maintenance time. You can operate 24 hours a day, because this is 2015, and we can design it better. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Zinka, you obviously have an expertise here and want to speak for some extended period of time. So if you're available, I would extend an invitation for you next October, the next meeting of our safety committee, to make a more lengthy presentation and be available to answer questions, if that is convenient for you.
Yes, I can provide anything of any depth, because I had to do analyses of this system for several clients, and I can inform you if you are interested in the technical aspect of it.
Thank you. I'll have a secretary to contact you regarding a presentation.
Ms. Heidi Case. I'm going to bring the microphone to the space.
Good afternoon. I'm Heidi Case. I have been a member of Metro's Accessibility Advisory Committee, the DC Taxi Cabin's Accessibility Advisory Committee, the Senior Transportation in DC Seabury Connector Transportation Advisory Committee. So accessibility is in transportation is really what I do. But I wanted to talk a little bit, and because that's usually what we talk about, but the safety and security are also big issues for people with disabilities within the system. And I just, you know, we've had this push for to move people from Metro Access who are able to onto the fixed route system, but issues of safety and security, I think, have a big impact on that. And I know personally, and I know many people, particularly people with wheelchairs, scooters, those kinds of things, ever since the L'Enfant Plaza incident, and then they continue and continue and continue, I avoid rail really pretty much at all costs. Because I'm fearful of, will they really be able to get me out of there? And how many of us will they be able to get out of there in a timely manner? So I think there's an accessibility or disability part of safety and security that you guys need to be aware of, and how that impacts the disability community. And that's one of the draws to Metro Access, is that sense that you're safe. I know myself, and I have personally been hit twice on the streets, once by a Metro bus. So those are another, you know, it's, wow, at least I'm in a vehicle rather than traveling five or six blocks through the streets. So those are issues that are important to our community. And I wanted to also talk about Transport DC. I think Transport DC, which is the initially pilot program using taxi cabs in DC as alternatives to metro access, is the best thing since sliced bread. And I mean that. The quality of my life, and it works so much better than it was ever even intended to. I can call a cab and in 15 or 20 minutes, I've got one. I don't have to plan ahead. I can stay as long as I want. I don't have to think, well, I want it all planned a day ahead, get there. A friend had surgery. I had no idea how long I would be there. All you have to do is call a cab. And just if I can take one extra second, I have actually now, because of the number of accessible cabs has increased for this program, I have twice been able to hail an accessible cab. That's miraculous in my community. Sitting at a bus stop, one comes along last Monday to get to the AAC meeting. So I want to thank you. And long term, I think 100,000 trips is way too few. And within the AAC, all the other jurisdictions are drooling, salivating to have that kind of program with the kind of freedom and quality of life that it brings to transportation. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Case. Michael Sindra.
Good afternoon. There's a letter that's been distributed, I believe, courtesy of John, dated September 24, 2015. It's addressed to Metro Transit Police Chief Ron Pavlik. Today, this disabled veteran served our country more than most, alerted your office of an issue involving Metro Transit Police Officer Kay Woodley while at Metro Center Business Office at approximately 17:4500 hours on or about September 23, 2015. As you are aware, controlling tariff entitles me to redeem 10 paper fare cards with commensurate value placed on Smart Trip card. On date and time in question, I was permitted to redeem only one paper fare card with value of $36.20 that was placed on Smart Trip card reflecting value of $3. I made Officer Woodley aware not only of this discrepancy, but also that business office manager, Ms. Caitlin Imbu, utter profane, obscene, and abusive language to me while giving me her middle finger. Mr. Imbu also uttered racial epithets to me as a non-black adult male by she, her entire staff, and Officer Woodley, our African-American. Mr. Imbu had Officer Woodley come into her locked office in absence of my presence, and upon Officer Woodley's return, ordered me to leave premises without reason or explanation given. Is there racial sensitivity training given your officer to combat acts of discrimination and law-breaking by Metro employees? Why are certain laws omitted from enforcement involving Metro employees? This is not the first time I have been denied service violative of said tariff. In a separate incident involving Mr. Inbu, Metro Transit Police Chief Lieutenant Nepadon T. McKee had to require Mr. Inbu to do her job and follow the law. This is an ongoing pattern of wanton and willful, rancorous, malicious misconduct and total disregard of my constitutionally guaranteed rights, reflected in letter of January 21st, 2011, to Board Chairman Catherine Hutchins, adopted and incorporated herein by reference, copy in next year two that remains pending and acted upon with no response received to date. Our expedited sit-down with Treasurer Alan Hopp to be advanced on calendar to earliest practicable date to aid in decisional process. Please phone to avoid scheduling conflict. Thank you in advance for your assistance and anticipated cooperation. This is a serious issue, and it needs to be addressed. It's not the first time, Ms. Hutchins and everybody else, I brought it to your attention, and it falls on 10 ears. You had a safety meeting earlier. I deflect here. You've got a copy, and I hope you act on it timely. Platform riders of Metro to air concerns, right? In today's Express, officials, okay, Metro's plan to fix safety issues. The transit system was cited for poor training and inadequate staff. Let me conclude. At the Metro Center, you've got 10 windows. And as I saw Mr. Hoppe online, why do you only have him staffed for two? That makes no sense. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sandberg.
Any questions? I'd be delighted to field them, and I hope to get a timely written response. Thank you.
Next item of business is the employee spotlight. Mr. Requa.
Mr. Chairman, it's my pleasure to turn the Metro spotlight on three of our employees from the Metro's Transit Infrastructure and Engineering Support Services Department. They are Clifton Hardy, Derek Conward, and Winston Brothers. On June 23rd, they were serving as power escorts at the Roslyn Station. During their shift, a contractor stepped into an uncovered portion of the escalator he was working on. With the unit running, his foot and leg became trapped. Our three Metro employees rushed to the aid of the worker. Mr. Conward used a pry bar to remove pressure from the worker's leg, allowing others to dismantle the unit to free his leg and foot. Mr. Hardy used his own shirt to make a tourniquet to apply pressure to the wound. He also ran to meet the first responders to escort them to the scene. Finally, Mr. Brothers remained with the worker throughout the ordeal, talking to him to keep him calm and conscious while they waited for first responders to arrive. I understand that after numerous surgeries, the worker's foot has been saved and he is recovering at home. Today, we recognize Mr. Hardy, Mr. Conward, and Mr. Brothers for instinctively jumping in and putting their skills into action to save a life. Please come forward and join me and the chairman for a vote.
Now the report of the Accessibility Advisory Committee, Mr. Sheehan.
Thank you very much. Got it. Okay. Thank you very much. It's very difficult to follow that last presentation.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing. I'd like to start off by thanking my vice chairs that I've been working with for the last, I think it's three, four years, Dr. Posner and Dr. Banerjee. They have been instrumental in being able to supply a lot of the successes that the AAC has had over the last two or three years. I know that many of you have seen Dr. Posner at many of the subcommittee meetings, and the amount of work that, these individuals have done, and particularly on matters concerning fair policy and safety concerns, I think is admirable. So my hat goes off to them. I appreciate all of their work, and they're still on the committee. I do have a new vice chair, Denise Rush and Elver Silver. And you will be meeting them at our quarterly board meeting. I think we have one scheduled for October. It was interesting having about a month and a half off, so I guess we have a lot of work to do to catch up over time. One of the areas that our people participated in was on the evacuation exercise in late August. And I think we got some good feedback on that. But one of the things that I would encourage WMATA to do is to see if we could open up that evacuation exercise to the disabled population in general, or the public in general, and particularly encourage disabled individuals in general to participate. One of the areas that we have seen, we have not seen as much participation in as we would like is in the area of those folks that have service animals and those folks from the hearing impaired community. I think that we have received a lot of inquiries from that sector, and we have a lot of people who would like to participate and learn, and I think you'd get a better set of information from if we could open that up. But the participation has been good, and we're going to encourage our AAC folks to participate in the next drill, which I believe is probably in December. Regarding Metro Access, we have the sustainability study. We have been briefed on that study a couple of times, and the AAC is very interested in moving forward with the series of recommendations that are in that study. I think that's something you'll be formally briefed on. And very interesting ideas. I think you heard some of the enthusiasm from Heidi Case on one element that's in that study. So we look forward to helping implement that. Metro Access is an important element of folks getting around, and we appreciate that. Regarding the bus stops and the recent hearings on the bus stops, one of the areas that the AAC has been interested in was in the area of Metro Access. If bus routes were dropped or changed, whether Metro Access customers would be affected. We have an understanding and an agreement that before a bus route would be changed, the Metro Access implications would be studied, so there would be no adverse implications there, and I was assured in the AAC meeting and the RAC meeting that this was being followed, and we appreciate that an awful lot. And lastly, I'd like we had a discussion about a community outreach that WMATA is initiating to the general public, and that would include people with disabilities. The AAC, I think, feels that this is a very good initiative. We pride ourselves in thinking that we know what is going on as far as the disability community goes, what is best, you know, what we think is important. But I think what the outreach to the community in general will do is to make sure that what we consider to be important and what the community at large considers to be important is we're on the same page with that community. We don't want to be 20, 21 people sitting there making decisions in an area where we don't have feedback from the disabled community. So we welcome that. We want to be part of the discussion. We appreciate the unique role that we have with WMATA, but we think reaching back to the disabled community in general to make sure that we know what we're talking about is what is important to the community is very important. We look forward to the next year, FY16, we're well rested since we had August off, and I look forward to going back to work. Thank you very much. Do I have any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Sheehan. Any questions, Mr. Bolter?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
The lighting initiative is well underway. It is actually in some areas ahead of progress. We have a meeting scheduled for, I think it's the third week in October, to get an update. Everything that we have received from the lighting subcommittee is that the lighting is going well. We have a group that is doing quality assurance on what is being installed, and they are very pleased. So the two projects that I think that are outstanding, the lighting project and the bus stop accessibility project, are well underway, and the results we're receiving on both projects are very good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions, Mr. Sheehan? No? Thank you, sir. And
thank you.
A note that I was over at DOT the other day. They have an exhibit up on ADA 25th anniversary, and your picture is the lead picture in the exhibit. So thanks for representing us there as well.
Very good. Thank you for that. Thank you.
Writers Advisory Council, Ms. Hermanson.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
What I just want to do today is touch on a few of the highlights from what the REC's been up to for the last month or two. We had our full REC meeting in first in a couple of months just last week. Mr. Jim Hamry and others from his staff did give us an overview of the proposed 2015-16 bus service adjustments. And the REC was really impressed, not only with the extent of the research that I think he always does and his group always does that leads to the proposals, but also the massive outreach that was part of the road shows that both got the word out and got input from the public outside of the official public hearing process. I'm personally very appreciative that Mr. Hamry comes to the REC with each major service set of changes to the bus service. He never ceases to amaze us on the facts that are inside his head about every route, every street, every stop of every route in the area. And anything we can possibly ask him about, he's got the answer. I offer many thanks to Jim and his commitment to keeping the REC informed, because we know how critical our bus service is to the riders that we represent. Also at that meeting, we reviewed the progress of some of our committee work over the past couple of months. One was about mobile apps and some ideas that one of our committees at the REC has had on what WMATA could do to improve the rider experience with mobile apps that are available. And we'll be sharing those both with the board and members of the appropriate WMATA staff very soon. Another topic of discussion came from our REC budget committee. We've been looking at fare simplification ideas for several months as a continuation of some thoughts started last year. I'm not sure what ideas will ultimately come from this that make sense this year, but we may still have some things to bring about fares to our quarterly meeting with the board's executive committee, along with the AAC, just some concepts for budgeting, either for the coming year or thoughts for future budget cycles. On the safety front, we also had one of our REC members who participated both in the April emergency drill in Maryland, who was present for the August drill in D.C. And we really know the importance of these, and my personal mission is to get information on the future drills so we can really plan ahead and have a larger presence there to get these scheduled on our calendar so we can get more people there, more sets of eyes, more feedback, because it's a very, very important thing, and we know how important it is. Over the next few weeks, I'm going to be assembling a progress report for all of our work plan items for 2015 in preparation for our quarterly meeting. That's scheduled jointly with the AAC and on October 22nd. And the last thing I want to say is that we are also very, very excited about the customer community and how we contribute to it. Patrick and I were talking before the meetings, and our sentiments are identical in that we see this as a wonderful opportunity not only to contribute our own point of view, but to benefit from all of the outreach that generates ideas from the riders, so that we know, again, it's not just 21 of us that are saying what we happen to think of, but that we are representing the riders at large much more directly and clearly. So that's it from the REC. Any questions or comments, I'd be happy to take.
Questions from Ms. Furman? Yes.
It's noted in your report that you continue to work staff on the blue line crowding, and I think it's good to keep calling out that as a concern.
I'm glad you said that, because we did have our public input person at our last meeting was specifically about the Blue Line again, and he's been very faithful, part of a group of Blue Line advocates that have been very faithful since the day Silver opened. And we know that there are a lot of issues that WMATA needs to address this year that go above and beyond crowding, but it is one component of the safety issue, and we don't want to forget or ever stop seeking some solution that will help them get numbers down in the ballpark that other lines have for crowding. Thanks.
Mr. Chairman.
I
recently received a phone call and read in the newspaper that there's a new rider group being formed, or talking about it. Two things. Would you be willing to go talk to this person who's organizing this to kind of dispel any conversations that they may have regarding your group and get back to us about that conversation?
I'd be happy to do that. Sure.
I can't remember the fellow's name. He left a voicemail on my company phone this week.
Oh, okay. I'm aware of the individual. I believe he is in the past been has come as a public person to our sessions, a few of them, not recently, but in years past.
Let's see what you can do.
Thank you. Will do.
Any other questions? And as Ms. Farmington said, the staff support for the RAC has been moved to our customer research group. The board interaction in terms of appointments and selection will stay with the Secretary's office.
Right, and that's a topic that we'll be discussing in a couple of weeks when we have our full RAC meeting. Just what exactly that means, I think it's nothing but good coming from that, even closer ties to the communication group that is so a big part of what we care about. Thanks.
Thank you. Let me turn to the chair's report. We have a good deal of progress to talk about on the FTA safety management inspection and other matters. But first and very importantly, I would like to recognize the service of a previous board member, Artis Hampshire Cowan, who departed the board this summer. Artis, would you please stand? We had the pleasure of serving with Artis since she joined the board as an alternate director from Maryland in May 2011. During her tenure, the accomplishments included promoting and encouraging joint development projects in Prince George's County and throughout the region, undertaking significant revisions to the board's governing documents, including the bylaws and code of ethics, strengthening the board's strategic focus and governance oversight, major accomplishment. And on behalf of the board, we offer you our sincere gratitude for your service to our customers and to the region and for your leadership on the board. Therefore, I would move to approve the following board commendation for Mrs. Artis Hampshire Cowan for her service to Metro. Whereas she concluded her service on the board effective June 1, 2015, and whereas she faithfully represented Prince George's County on the board from May 2011 until May 2015, and whereas she served on the Planning Program Development and Real Estate Committee, including serving as its vice chair for 3 years, whereas during her tenure on that committee, the committee promoted and advanced several significant joint development projects at metro stations around the region, including projects in Prince George's County at the New Carrollton, Capitol Heights, and Branch Avenue Metro Rail Station. Whereas in addition to her leadership on the Planning Committee, she served as Vice Chair of the Board's Governance Committee in 2013 and 14, during which time the Board undertook significant revisions to the bylaws and code of ethics and clarified the Board's role in overseeing and advancing the joint development process. Whereas she used her experience and expertise to strengthen the board's strategic focus, governance oversight role, and leadership in the region, including being a champion of the strategic plan momentum. Whereas she helped guide and build a foundation for effective board governance, including the evolution of the board corporate secretary position as a facilitator for the board's work. And whereas she believed and still believes that Metro's greatest strength is its people, and promoted board involvement in strengthening Metro's focus on its human resources administration. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the WMATA Board of Directors offers its sincere gratitude to Artis Hampshire Cowan for her service and leadership as a member of the board, and be it further resolved that the board commends her for her dedication to providing the best service for Metro customers and promoting projects and policies that improve the quality of life for residents of Prince George's County and the entire Washington region. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor? Aye. And I have a token of our appreciation. Thank you. offer well-deserved comments to artists, please chime in. Yes, our senior from Maryland.
I would just say that when I joined the board a little over two years ago, Artis was actually one of the first board members that I met with our now gone colleague, Alvin Nichols, at a meeting in Maryland. And he's always been, since then, a very force of nature. He was always very good at providing a crisp analysis of a problem, a crisp analysis of the situation, and giving her advice on how it should be handled, usually in a very well thought out and very helpful way. So I appreciated the opportunity to know her, to work with her these last 2 years. And I believe hopefully Keturah and Nahum will find her resource that they can take advantage of and that they can learn from as they serve on the Metro board. Thank you, Artis.
Ms. Porter.
I had the opportunity to serve with Artis almost the entire time I was on all the time that I was on the board. She joined the board just a few months after I did. And I agree with all the wonderful things that it says in the resolution about the contribution she made to the board. But I think the thing that really stands out to me was how she could come right to the central point in a very wise and calm and organized manner, and very often enabled us to come to a conclusion or come to a more thoughtful way of approaching a problem than we were otherwise heading for. And in addition to the expertise that she has in board governance and human relations, she also very much just has a lot of life collected wisdom, which we very much benefited from during her entire time on the board. Thank you, Artis. I'll miss you.
Thank you. Anybody else?
And we wish you well, because you gave an awful lot to Metro, and we know it took a balance of your time to do so, and so I wish you well in your being moved from here, but thinking of us and the contributions that you make are most important.
Thank you all. Yes, Malcolm, you have dishes to fill.
Yeah. I don't know if it's on or okay. We haven't had a chance to connect as much as I would, but I definitely did want to chime in on my thanks, particularly from myself as a Prince Georgian, for your work on behalf of us. And as they've said, I hope that I can do my level best to fill your shoes and lean on you for help. And thank you very much for your service.
How complicated this is. So it's not just about a good board, effective management. We have a phenomenal resource in the staff. We have really been impressed of the commitment and the passion. But we also need the citizens of the region to own this authority. This is our authority. And in my view, we only have two things that consistently unites this region. And I've been blessed to be involved with both. The Redskins and Metro. The Redskins and Metro. And so it's not just about providing transportation. It's how we knit this region together for it to fulfill its promise. It has been my honor and my pleasure to serve. Thank you so much.
Now I'd like to ask the principal members of the board to vote on a change to committee assignments. And Tony Costa, I think you're sitting in for Harriet. I move that Virginia principal member Jim Corcoran become the Audits and Investigation Committee Chair, and that federal alternate member Tony Giancola become the Audit Committee Vice Chair. Do I have a second for that? All in favor? Aye. Any opposed? And I want to thank Tony for his efforts over the last year or two as chair of the audit committee, moving us along, and I'm sure he'll put the same amount of shoulder to the wheel in the coming months as we continue to move through the next phase of work of that committee. And Jim, whatever we can do to help you work. He promised he would. Good. Thank you. Let me now take just a moment, I'm sure we'll hear more about this from Jack, to thank Metro staff for their stellar performance this week during the papal visit. I thought you did a great job communicating to customers, both our regular customers and the number of out-of-town visitors, what to expect and how to achieve their travel needs effectively. I know you ran into some challenges at the outset of the week, but the work you did to ensure riders had as good an experience as possible really did us all proud. And I have a few words from the Pope that I would like to pass along. I'll do the English translation. The Pope, in his encyclical, said, "The quality of life in cities has much to do with systems of transport, which are often a source of much suffering for those who use them. Many cars used by one or more people circulate in cities, causing traffic congestion, raising the level of pollution, and consuming enormous quantities of non-renewable energy. This makes it necessary to build more roads and parking areas which spoil the urban landscape. Many specialists agree on the need to give priority to public transportation. Yet some measures needed will not prove easily acceptable for society unless substantial improvements are made in the systems themselves, which in many cities force people to put up with undignified conditions due to crowding, inconvenience, infrequent service, and lack of safety. So the Pope says we all have to do a better job, and I'm sure we will." Now I'd like to just say a few words about the FDA safety management inspection. As you may have heard this morning in the Safety Committee, Mr. Goldman, Mr. Requa, and I had a very informative and frank meeting with FDA Acting Administrator Therese McMillan on Monday. I'm very happy to report that the FDA concurs with all of the corrective action plans that have been given to them and is anxious to see them proceed and proceed in a way that not only checks the boxes on 91 recommendations, but actually turn this organization into another level of safety, another level of safety culture. I want to really express my gratitude to FDA for working with us in such a collaborative manner to develop the inspection and to work forward with us on how we implement the recommendations. I'd also like to recognize Mr. Requa for his leadership of the management team that submitted the voluminous action plan in a very complete fashion and ahead of the FDA deadline, which enabled them to get back to us quickly. As we've always said and continue to say, the board and Metro place the highest priority on safety of our customers and our employees. By addressing the findings in this report, Metro will be able to make numerous safety improvements to the system and deliver on our commitment to running safe and reliable service. Finally, I'd like to update you on the board's efforts to conduct a top-to-bottom efficiency and effectiveness review of Metro. As you recall from earlier discussions, the purpose of this study is to seek out best practices and organizational efficiencies to help Metro accomplish its strategic goals of safety, customer service, connecting communities, and financial stability. The solicitation for this effort closed last month. We anticipate a final selection, a contract award, and the work beginning within the next month. We look forward to this review getting underway so that we can make operational and organizational improvements that will lead to benefits for the customer, for the agency, and for the region. And I thank you. That concludes my remarks, and I will turn it over to Mr. Requa.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know Artis has already left, but I just want to say that staff certainly appreciated working with her over her years on the board. And she is missed, and all the best to her. I do want to dispel the rumor that that we're going to be replacing buses with Fiat 500s. They don't meet by America, so we do have a challenge in that.
Yeah.
But following up on the Pope's visit, following months, and we certainly appreciate your comments. I agree totally that the staff did a good job in primarily communicating with the public, keeping them updated on the needs and the concerns that they may have to address. Fortunately, it went very well. Following months of intense planning, the district hosted Pope Francis earlier this week at a number of high-profile and highly attended events. Mitchell coordinated closely with the district's Department of Transportation, as well as the Secret Service, the Archdiocese of Washington, and countless other law enforcement, transportation, and business partners to accommodate tens of thousands of visitors to the city. On both Wednesday and Thursday, staff provided our customers with frequent and helpful tips on how best to use Metro, and rail and bus met the challenge of providing safe service to thousands of our regular commuters, as well as the thousands of participants and spectators at papal events across the city. I'd like to commend our employees for their efforts this week, and I also would like to commend the district's Department of Transportation by providing circulator buses that provided key transportation to over 5,000 folks to take some of the pressure off of our Brooklyn station. You mentioned safety reviews, and I'd like to add a few comments. And as you've heard this morning during the safety committee meeting, numerous external reviews are currently underway or were recently completed, and these include the Federal Transit Administration's safety management inspection, which was completed and includes 91 safety actions, a peer review of Metro's Rail Operations Control Center conducted by the American Public Transit Association had 21 recommendations, a study on Metro's underground radio system conducted by the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments. We anticipate that report to be received soon. An examination by the U.S. Government Accounting Office of Metro's progress towards completing previous financial and safety recommendations, and the report included two recommendations related to financial controls. And finally, the National Transportation Safety Board's investigation into the January 12th event. As you know, a number of early recommendations have been issued, and we anticipate a final report early next year. Metro staff from our rail, bus, safety, and finance divisions are all working together to compile these recommendations into an integrated, impressive, comprehensive plan of action that will move us forward with critical safety, infrastructure, and financial control improvements. I've instructed the Chief Financial Officer to come back to the board later this fall to discuss any adjustments that may be needed to the fiscal year 2016 budget, as well as initial plan for funding these projects in fiscal year 17. I do want to mention the potential government shutdown. You know, we join many in the region who have concerns about a potential federal government shutdown. Federal workers are our customer. During the last shutdown, the drop in bus, but primarily rail ridership, of federal workers resulted in a loss of about $500,000 a day. I expect a similar impact if a shutdown occurs this year, and like last time, we will try to adjust service. However, because of our costs are fixed, we will not be able to save nearly enough to offset the daily loss. Thanks to the support of our jurisdictions, we will be able to continue to offer service, but not indefinitely. I want to thank our region's congressional delegation for their work to press for a budget and call on the remainder of Congress to pass a federal budget. Now it's time for Congress to act. As was mentioned earlier, the public comment period closed on Metro Bus's annual State of Good Operations Service Adjustment Proposal. This year, a robust outreach campaign was organized based on Metro's new public participation plan. Rather than limiting input to a handful of public meetings, we hosted 32 roadshow outreach events, which included pop-ups at bus stops, staff ride-alongs on bus routes with proposed changes, community meetings, and participation at local festivals. We told riders that they could provide feedback using Metro's website and social media accounts, signs on our buses and our bus stops, advertisements and outreach materials published in multiple languages, and through coordination with community-based organizations. We also sent direct emails to more than 37,000 riders on our impacted routes. These invitations not only asked the customers to provide feedback through an online survey, but also provided the locations, times, and dates when our staff would be out in the community. As a result of these efforts, 6,800 surveys were completed and more than 4,000 written and shared comments were collected in a five-week period and are now being reviewed. We held a public hearing on Thursday, September 17th here at Metro headquarters, which was promoted through the community outreach period. As a result, the hearing was very well attended, with more than 120 participants and nearly 50 speakers commenting on a number of proposed changes. The meeting stretched for nearly 3 hours, and I'd like to thank Chairman Downey and board members Dormso, Hines, and Porter for their participation. Metro staff is planning to return to the board in November with detailed analysis of the public input and to discuss options for moving forward on bus service changes. Finally, I'd like to thank the board for the productive discussion held during this month's Customer Service and Operations Committee. In particular, many of you called for increased opportunities to meet and receive input directly from our riders. In October, as October is Customer Service Month, it's an appropriate time to thank our riders with customer appreciation events in rail stations and at transit centers across the region. We have circulated the draft schedule for 8 events to be held in late October and November. Once your participation has been finalized, we will alert riders to this opportunity to meet the board members so they can share with you directly their commuting experiences and suggestions. The executive team looks forward to joining you at these events, and I hope to see everyone out in the system next month. Mr. Chairman, that concludes my comments.
Thank you, Mr. Rico. I may now recognize Ms. Hudgens for a report from the Customer Service and Operations Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The following action item was referred to the board at the September 10th Customer Service and Operations Committee. The committee recommended approval of the public hearing staff report and adoption of the Tacoma Langley Transit Center into the adopted regional system. The committee recommends approval of the following actions related to the Tacoma Langley Transit Center. First, approval of the Tacoma Langley Transit Center public hearing staff report and amendment of the adopted regional transit system plan to include the transit center. Amendment of the 2016 operating reimbursable budget for the reimbursement of transit center startup and operations costs for the FY 2016 and in subsequent years budget. And finally, authorization of the general manager and CEOs to negotiate and execute a lease, an operating agreement, and an accompanying funding agreement with the state of Maryland to fund operations and maintenance at the transit center. I move, Mr. Chairman.
Is there a second? All voting members in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries.
Thank you.
Recognize Mr. Evans for a report from the Finance Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The following action was referred to the board at the September 10th meeting of the Finance and Administration Committee. Amendment to FY 2016-2021 Capital Improvement Plan and FY 2016 Operating Reimbursable Budget. Staff requested approval of an amendment to the FY 2016-2021 Capital Improvement Plan to include $2.94 million in Department of Homeland Security grant funding and approval of an amendment to the FY 2016 Reimbursable Operating Budget of $1.38 million for inclusion of DHS grant-funded risk assessment and security planning efforts. So I'd like to move approval.
For a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, the motion carries. That completes the business of the board, except for reports. Let me ask Mr. Evans if there's a report from District of Columbia.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to echo the comments made earlier about an outstanding job Metro did during the past week. Many of my constituents who ride Metro, both rail and bus, came up to me and said, every day at Metro should be the Pope Day. And I agree with that. So thank you all, staff, everyone who really made the region proud. Thank you.
And we certainly happy with the support we got from the District DOT and others. What was really a team effort. Mr. Goldman?
Thank you. Short report. Before the Pope arrived, there was another important event in Maryland this week, and that is that the long-awaited Silver Spring Transit Center opened on Sunday, September 20th. I can report that from what I heard from the interim general manager, things went smoothly. The system and the center are focusing very well. Consumers seem to be happy. And like a good bottle of fine wine, I think we'll begin to appreciate it more as time goes by and we get used to it. Thank you.
Governor Virginia?
No report.
And federal government, as Mr. Rico said, we'll have our fingers crossed as to whether the federal government will open up on the 1st of October, but there's still a few business days for the Congress to do what they need to do. We hope that they will do that. They will also, within the next 29 days thereafter, we hope, reenact or extend our highway and transit authorization so that the federal funds will continue to flow to the capital program. There's no other business to come before the board. We'll do adjourn.
So.